Well, we greet you all in Jesus' precious name again this evening. It is good to be here again this evening. Especially on a warm summer night. It feels pretty good in here. So, for a message this evening, I like to think about God this evening. And the title of my message this evening is Having a Proper Fear for God. And having a proper fear, or you could say a proper reverence for God. That's what I like to think about this evening. But before we talk about that, or talk more about the fear of God, I'd just like to think about God for a little. And the start here. Some of the attributes of God. I guess I enjoy studying about God. When I think about God, mine has to, just think about the attributes of God and who God is and what he's all about. And that's what I like to, on the outstart, do that here this evening. I invite you to turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 here. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Tonight, God is eternal. Says that in this verses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. God always was and always will be. God had no beginning and has no end. He's eternal. Talk about here in verse 1 again, a dwelling place in all generations. Every generation that was on this earth from the beginning of time, God was the same God. And he has been our dwelling place in all generation. God was the God of every generation. Every generation from the beginning of time that came and went, God was their dwelling place. Verse 2. But God was even before then. It says in verse 2, even before the mountains were brought forth, or thou hast formed the earth, or even the world, from everlasting, thou art God. God was before God created this world. He's eternal. He had no beginning, has no end. I know my mind cannot comprehend that. My mind stops when it cannot grasp the eternalness of God. Always was. Who made God? Where did he come from? Our minds stop. I know mine does. God is everlasting. He's eternal. It's just so hard for us to wrap our minds around. God always was. The next one I like to talk about is God is all-knowing. He knows all things. He knows our thoughts. He knows the words we speak. We're going to speak before we speak them. Let's turn over to Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 4. Psalms 139. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Lord, thou hast known me. Now, tonight, the Lord knows all about you. He knows about you. And he actually knows everything about you. He knew you before you were born. He knew you. He knows our thoughts before we think them. And tonight, he knows what kind of life you're living. You can't hide anything from God. He knows all things. He even knows how many hairs are on our head. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that? That's our God. He knows all, everything. Every person on this world, however many there are, he knows everyone personally, knows all about us. He knows all things. We cannot hide anything from God this morning or this evening. God knows all about us. The third one I like to talk about, God is everywhere. He's everywhere present. He sees us this evening. He sees us here at Ridgeview worshiping. He sees us. Sees us everywhere, whether we're at home or on the job, wherever. God sees us. He even sees everything we do. We can never get away from the eyes of God. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 23 and 24 says this, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Can anyone hide from God? Well, we know that answer. God is everywhere. His eyes are in every place. God is everywhere present. He's everywhere. The fourth one I like to talk about is God is powerful. He's all powerful. I'd like to read a few verses, a verse in Job. I'd like to talk about Job a little later, but there's a verse in Job that kind of brings this thought out. Job's testimony of about the powerful God. The end of Job, here in the book of Job. Then Job answered, verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." That was Job's testimony. He said, I know the Lord can do everything. And that is our God. God has the power to do anything. You know, it amazes me what man can come up with. Man can invent a lot of things. Has invented a lot of things. Man can create powerful things. High horsepower engines, whatever it is. Man can... Yeah, it's amazing nowadays. Technology, whatever it is, what man has done. But tonight, man's power is still limited. He runs out of power. He runs out of strength. But tonight, God is all-powerful. There's nothing God cannot do. And it amazes me as you think how he created the world in Genesis 1. He just spoke the word, and it happened. Let there be light, and there was light, and so on. In Isaiah 40, God has no comparisons. There it talks about, Isaiah talks about how God has no comparisons. There's no comparing to him anything on the earth. Isaiah 40, verse 12. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who marked off the heaven with a span? Who has calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the balance in a scales and the hills in a balance." We know that was God that can do that. God is very powerful. In And then in Isaiah 40, verse 13 through 15, who taught the Lord how to do this? How it should be done? Who trained him? But you know, we know God. There's nothing too big for God to do. And he looks at the nations of this world and talks about, I think in verse 15, all nations are as a drop in a bucket to God. This whole world to God is just like a drop in a bucket. God, we cannot rate God's power. His power is unlimited. In verse 28, this great and marvelous God does not grow weary and tired. Talks about that in Isaiah 40. He giveth. I'll just have to turn to that. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching for his understanding. That's our God. He never gets tired. He never grows weary. He's everlasting. That's the marvelous of our God. One more attribute I'd like to talk about yet here is God is a holy God. 1 Peter 1 talks about that. Be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. Isaiah 57, verse 15. God's name is holy. God is this holy one that dwells in the high and holy place. God is pure. God is holy. There's no sin in God. I just can't quite fathom the pureness and the holiness of God. I don't think we can quite grasp this holy God until we get over there, get to heaven, and see the holy picture, and to be in this presence of his holiness. This God is great, and he's holy. Those are a few of the attributes of God I talked about. Now, coming into the second part here of the message, the question I'd like to ask you this evening, do I have a proper fear of God? When you think of fear, you think of something that we're scared of, we're frightened of. Whether if it's maybe a bad thunderstorm that you're not sure what's going to happen, or whether it's meeting something out in the mountain or the woods somewhere, a wild animal, and you get scared. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a proper fear of God, a proper reverence for God. And we talked about some of these attributes of God. But what God wants for you and I this evening is to have a proper fear for him, a proper reverence for him. The fear I'm talking about is learning to know God more, getting closer to God, to really understand his holiness, his power, and his might and his wrath. Psalms 111, verse 10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding, all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do I have a proper fear of God? There was a man in the Old Testament, I mentioned a little of him before. I had to think of Job. I'd like to turn to Job. Job chapter 1. Job is a man I enjoy studying about. Chapter 1, verse 1. How does it describe this man, Job? Verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect, upright, and the one that feared God and eschewed evil. We see this man, Job, who was perfect, upright, the one that feared God and eschewed evil. I see God as I see Job as a God-fearing man. But we know this story very well. You know, one day Satan comes to God. You know, he asks God, does Job really fear God? And Satan told God that the reason why he does is because you have blessed him abundantly. And if I take away his things, his wealth, all his things, he will curse you and die. Or he'll curse you and he'll reject you. And God said, go ahead, try it. But save his life. That happened. Job lost it all. All his animals, his cattle, even his family, his sons and daughters. What was Job's response? Verse 21. And Job said, naked I come out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not or charged God foolishly. I see a man that had a holy and a reverence fear for God, that was committed to serve God. It says in verse 1 again, he was perfect and upright and feared God and eschewed evil. But we have Satan still not satisfied. You know, he comes to God later on and says, you know, if I touch his body, he will curse thee. God said, go ahead, try it. And there we have Job covered with boils, and he scraped them with a potsherd. And we have Job's wife even say, does thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Backing up in verse 3, when Satan came to God again and said, and God told Satan, do you see Job? And here you've done all these things to him, and here he is. And I like that phrase there in verse 3. He still holdeth fast his integrity. And then we have Job's wife coming to him. Do you still refrain thine integrity? Just curse God and die. Job said unto her, thou speakest one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And in this all did not Job sin with his lips. Is that amazing? I don't think we can put ourselves in the Job shoes here. How could Job not sin through all this? But I believe it started before this, his uprightness, his fear for God. Job had a commitment in God. Job 19. Familiar verses here. Job 19, 25 and 26 says this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. What a commitment Job had in God. Job had reverence and a fear for God. He was committed that he was going to see God. And he's seen God through all this. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29 say this. whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with a reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. That's what God wants out of us, that we would serve him with a reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. But this evening, what kind of fear do you have for God? You know, I mentioned earlier about the attributes of God and how he's everywhere and he sees everything. His eyes are in every place. We read there in Jeremiah. You know, God sees us, everything you and I do, whether if it's good or bad. You know, God sees the sins in this world today. People today are living deep in sin and don't have a fear for God. We're living in a world today that people are trying to wipe God out of the picture. And while they do that, this world just gets worse and worse. Just had to think, you know, they took God out of the schools. What's happening in our schools today, in our public schools? Well, it's chaos. It's not safe sometimes. Shooting and all that. But God's, when you have God out of the picture. And yet we see sins getting worse and worse. And it's amazing how so often we look at the, we kind of get used to some of these sins that are around us. Divorce and remarried. It's, yeah, we wouldn't, definitely don't believe in it, but yet it's so much around us. The immodest stress. We kind of get used to it. It's just, you know, but it all comes down to that God's judgment on, where God draws his line on sin, it's still the same today as it always had been. People today don't have a fear for God. But what about you and I this morning? Do I have a proper fear and a reverence for God? So many times I think, I don't even for myself, I don't have a proper fear for God. Sometimes I forget that God's eyes are actually watching me, everything I do. And so many times we get ourselves caught in that. And really what we fear man. then we more than we do God. We may be scared what man thinks of us. Maybe there's something hidden in our life. You know, we can hide various things in our lives that no one knows about. You know, there could be many things, whether if it's music, whether if it's looking at bad magazines, whether if it's whatever it is. And we think we're okay because mom and dad don't know about it. My brothers and sisters don't know about it. We do these things on the sneak as long as no one finds out. Maybe we try to hide stuff from our wives or from our husbands. And we know we aren't living right. We should do something about it, but we don't because we're scared what people may think of us and or say about us. We can become scared of man. Why do we do these things in secret when no one is around and no one sees us? Why do we? You know, I think of the technology age we live in. We can do so many things with our phones, whatever it is. We can do all this stuff. Maybe no one knows about it. Whatever it is. But remember, who's watching us? Who sees us? Again, that verse in Jeremiah, God's eyes are in every place. He knows everything about us. Maybe there is something hiding in your life that no one's about. But God knows and sees. He knows all about it and sees it. He knows how you live your life. God knows your heart this evening. You know, if there's hatred in your heart for your brother and sister, a person that you struggle to love, God knows all about that. If you're a little shady in how you run your business, and maybe cheat here a little bit or whatever it is, God knows all about it. You know, you might be fooling someone tonight about your hidden sins in your life. Whether if it's, you could be fooling your brother or your sister or your ministers or your parents, whatever it be. But what about God? Are you fooling God? Is it possible to hide anything from God? No, we know that. We just make a fool out of ourselves when we try to hide anything, something in our lives. And really, when God knows all about it. You know, tonight, God does not overlook sin. God does not wink at sin. You know, someday we have to stand before God. And then those hidden sins will all come out. And God knows all about it. So when I think about that, does that bring fear of God in my life? In your life? I think it should. It's good for us to think about it in that way. That the things I do, God sees and knows all about. And so when I'm tempted to do something I shouldn't, our mind should directly go to God and know, you know what? God sees me. He knows all about it. I think today it's easy for us to pretend to be a Christian. You know, we can come here to church. We can dress and look right. Maybe even say the right words, but playing Christian tonight is not going to work. Living a life of a hypocrite will not work. I think that's the worst life we can live. So many times we can be a different person at home than we are at church. I had to think of what Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 16. He says, I'd rather if you be hot or you be cold. But lukewarmness, he said, I will spit you out of my mouth. God has no time for lukewarmness tonight. He'd rather if you be hot on fire for God or cold. But so often we find ourselves in that lukewarm trap. Just maybe half committed. Just not really genuine like we should be. What God wants this evening is lives that are fully committed to Him and committed to serve Him. One of the great things about our God this morning or this evening is that He loves us so much. Romans 5 verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we have God's love and mercy still toward us, even though we fell many times. And yet we can come back to God. While this is a day of opportunity, we can. You know, if your life ain't right this evening, you can do something about it today yet. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he is found. Well, he can be found. Tonight, there is still time. You can seek him and call upon him. There is still time. We're still living in the time of mercy and grace. What God wants out of our lives this evening, He wants to know us in a very special way, knowing Him personally as our Heavenly Father. Do you have a proper fear of God in your life? When you are tempted to do something that's not right, think more beyond the fear of man or thinking of some way to get out of it. Think about God and how He sees us. He knows it. knows all about it already. Let's be a people that will fear the Lord with all reverence and live holy lives. Whether if it's trying to hide some sin in our lives, or whether if we're going through a tough time like Job did. And I'm sure we all didn't face times like Job. But there are times in life that maybe it's a financial setback or whatever it is. We lose something, or maybe it's a loved one, whatever it is. And it's so easy to turn on God. But let's live lives like Job did. Even though he faced many hard, trying times in his life, he was still committed to love and to serve God. Even going through that experience, the end of the book there, he was still committed, knowing that God is alive and God is holy, and we still need to reverence him. So that's my challenge for you this evening. Let's live holy, open lives before God. But like I said again, someday we will stand before God and give an account. We want to have everything right before him. Let's pray.